everybody, what's going on? It's Bay Ragney here, and you're getting ready to listen to another episode of the Rock and Ragney Show. This time around, we talk to the one and only original bass player of LA Guns, Mr. Kelly Nichols. I got to talk to Kelly about the band that probably most of you's never heard of, Sweet Pain, which was out in New York. We talked about them. We talked about Faster Pussycat. We talked about some old LA Guns stuff. And, of course, we talked about the whole new version of LA Guns. There's now two versions of LA Guns, if you haven't heard. And one version, we have Tracy Guns and Phil Lewis. And in the other version, we have Mr. Kelly Nichols and Steve Riley. So we talk all about that. We talk about the new single, Crawl, the upcoming album, and much, much more. So without further ado, here he is. Let's welcome him back to the music business and to your ears, Mr. Kelly Nichols.
There he is, Kelly fucking Nichols.
There you are.
Dude, I am so fucking psyched for this. You don't know.
Okay, good, man. Thank you.
And here's the first reason I'm going to tell you why. Not only, like, just being a huge LA Guns fan all my life. Same. Sweet Pain, dude. Sweet Pain.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Let me tell you, I just got to tell you this, like, That first of all, not only do I love the album, but the album cover is truly, and the back cover is one of my favorite album covers of all time, because I can't tell you how many hours as a kid I would just lay in my bed and listen to that album and stare at that album cover, and I would always find new things in those pictures.
Yeah,
you didn't see it. It just always blew me away.
That's great. Right on.
So, dude, like, where the hell have you been, like, the last 20 years?
Oh, man, I've been living in a cave in the Himalayas. I painted myself blue with orange and white dots, and I studied Eastern philosophy.
And then all of a sudden, the rock and roll world brings you back.
Yep, dragged me back in, man, back into society. Man. I've been around, dude. I've been raising a family, and I've been working at a design company. I work on a shark cage diving boat for the last 2 years. I stay busy. I've banged nails and, you know, carpentry. I've done all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I've stayed busy.
Dude, like, so I mean, all these years, like, living pretty much like the normal life, didn't you miss the rock and roll lifestyle, the rock of the music, everything? Or were you still playing, or?
I still played, like, you know, at the house and stuff. I've guitars out and stuff, so I always kind of kept playing. But just raised a family. I had two daughters. I had a, you know, stepdaughter and a daughter, and both great daughters. And so I, you know, just wanted to spend time with them, and, you know, wasn't really into music, playing as much, and trying to, you know, start another band, and just didn't have the strength for it. I feel like I kind of just got burnt out for a while, you know?
Sure.
Did so much of it at the time. You know, we'd go on a tour for 11 months. I mean, you know, tours were, like, you know, long. And the recording process in the studios, you know, a lot more, bigger budget. So more time in the studio, months on end, and you know, months to record and everything. So I just, you know, I had a lot of it. It was a lot. It was like every day, you know. You did it every day. So.
Yeah.
And the music was changing, and I just felt like, you know, it was time to go. Fashion changed, music changed, and I felt like it kind of had run its course for a while, and, you know, see what happens. So I got into computer graphics in 93, bought my first Apple, and started working on, you know, designing and learning that, and, you know, I still do that today, so. Keeping myself busy.
Wow, that's awesome. Now how about, like, you know, like after the Vicious Circle album happened, and you had left the band, and I mean, you came back a few years later for a little bit, but were you kind of shocked to see, like, Tracy and Steve continue on and still try to go at it without as LA Guns?
No, I, you know, because you know, they have, they should be able to keep playing. So, you know, I always wanted them to do well, you know, I wanted them to be successful. I wanted to, you know, the name, put a lot of work into that name, and, you know, always wanted them to just do well and have fun with it and, you know, keep it going, you know, So I had no problem with it. Like, Mick had left and then Phil left, and then it was Tracy and I and Steve, and we were auditioning new singers, and I just wasn't feeling like the direction and everything, and I just kind of burnt out. So I just, I said, I think I had enough for a while. So, you know, just went and did some other stuff. And then I did have a daughter and a stepdaughter, then a daughter. So that kind of took me into a new direction. You know, I was like going to bed at 7 in the morning, and now I was like, you know, waking up at 7 in the morning. So like, I had to change everything like on a dime. You know, my lifestyle changed on a dime when the kids came. So, and it was well worth it. So, you know, I just followed that path and did what I could to, be there. But I wanted to be there. That's like, no. It was important to me to be there. You know, it was more important to be there than to be on the road talking about bass amps and stuff. And I was just like, I was so burnt on it. And I just like, you know, for just like trying to beat a dead horse kind of, but you know, everybody can do what they want. You know, it's only music. Just play, just have some fun.
Did you like keep tabs on what was going on with the LA Guns guys? Like all the member changes over the years. Did you ever like think to yourself like, damn, like, you know, was it
I didn't.
Members, like, did you just go step back into your role? Did you think?
No, I thought, I didn't think about it till, Phil and I had a conversation about it. And, that's when they decided to do a reunion with him and, Tracy. And, you know, it was kind of up to like coming back out. They didn't want that, and they didn't want Mick. And, I didn't really keep up with it. I mean, sometimes I would hear about it or something, but I didn't really like keep up with it. You know, I just always, like whenever I heard from them, I just hoped it was good. You know, that I was like, right. You know, that it was good news that, you know, they met them and that they were nice and that, it was a cool experience and the show was good. They sounded good. I always just hoped that it was good, you know, because I always wanted to do good because it's my, you know, it's part of my baby too, you know, so. I put a lot of work into it, put a lot of faith into it, a lot of time into it. And I always wanted a positive vibe for it.
So in other words, you were in touch with Phil when him and Tracy got back together and like the option was for you to go back or.
Well, the option was, Phil asked me if I'd help him work on a song. And I felt that, it wasn't really a song yet, and then I said, how about we try to write something from scratch, you and I, and then you know, possibly, like, me coming back, and, they weren't having it, so.
Really?
So, wow. Yeah, so then, then Steve called with this, Steve was offered by the management of M3 Festival, approached him and asked him to put an alumni version of the band together and just come play the festival and have fun. And that's when he called me and asked me if I would be interested. So it was really like going to be basically a one-off show.
Right.
And see what happens if we, should keep going with it or if we were terrible, it was over. And, but I think we did fairly well. And so we got a record deal out of it. And now it's become this whole other thing, you know? So, but it's a rock and roll soap opera, man.
it's a soap opera, right? Like, what did you think of that? Like, when Steve called you, like, I'm sure he said, we're going to call it LA Guns, and did you think, like, uh-oh, this is going to start just that, a soap opera?
No, I didn't really think, because we talked about it. We had, like, a good two-hour conversation about the whole thing, talking about some of the past, some of where we were going, what were we planning on doing with it? How would we do this? Because I don't want to just do it if it's not going to be good. Like, I don't want to do anything just to do it. If I'm going to do it, I want it to be good. I really always go in with good intentions. I'm not just trying to, like, milk it, It's like, I had plenty of stage time. I had plenty of, met really cool people, had great experiences. But, I'm not living for that anymore. I haven't been living for that, ever. But I don't live for it, so. I'm like, I don't need to go back out and play, I enjoy it, and that's the only reason I would do it.
Sure.
So we talked about it, and, he You know, I know Steve's played drums and sound in every live show since that first record came out. He was made a full-fledged member from day one, and he's the only guy who never quit, and he feels like he's earned that right, and he's put a lot of work into it, as much as anybody, if not more. He handles all the business throughout the years and dealing with the promoters and the clubs and the agents and all that stuff. He's the one, he was the liaison for the band, so he, you know, he feels like it's his, and he's got a legal right. They both have a legal right to use it, and so, you know, we just say it is what it is, unfortunately, but, you know, we're just trying to put out some music, not hurt nobody.
Right.
Just trying to put a smile on your face and have a good time, so, you know, you don't have to choose. We get it. You know, I totally get it. I get band loyalty. I'm a fan, too. You know, there's bands that I really love, and so I get it, but unfortunately, it is what it is, but I, you know, we feel like we've earned the right to play these songs that, you know, we worked on a lot, and trying to mix it up with the new stuff now, you know?
Sure, sure. Now, when you guys were rehearsing for M3 last year, you know, like you said, you guys were thinking it was just going to be a one-off thing, but, I mean, from what I heard, like, I wasn't there, but a lot of my friends were there, and they all told, like, I was getting updates while you guys were playing, like, you guys were amazing. Like, everybody was shocked and blown away. They were not expecting you to be that good. So,
Yeah,
so, I mean, like, you had to probably feel the same way during rehearsals, like this is going to be awesome.
Well, we only did, like, we did 2 days of rehearsal, like, you know, a month and a half before the show. So the fourth time I ever met Kurt Froelich was on stage at M3, and that's the first show we ever did together as a band, and it's, like, you know, a huge outdoor festival. So everybody really did their homework because we all live in different states. We can't get together and just jam and make sure that we go over it, you know, and you have to make sure the starts and the stops, everybody has the same, you know the breakdowns. You got to know these songs, like, super well. So everybody did their homework and went on stage, like, prepared. And that's the only way we were able to pull it off because we didn't have that luxury of, you know, getting together whenever we wanted to and work on it here and there and make sure we have it. Everybody had to just study and listen to those songs and just, you know, go. We didn't have no sound check, so it was, you know, it was just a good concerted effort of, you know, being prepared, man, really paid off.
Now, how about, like, right afterwards? Like, how were you? Were you, like, excited? Were you like, oh, man, we got to do this more. We got to do this again. Like, what was your immediate feelings?
I had a great time, so I was just kind of, like, waiting to hear the feedback from my friends and, you know, fans and stuff, and to see, like, you know, how it sounded out there and if people enjoyed it and stuff. And so, you know, that whole night while we were there and, you know, many, many people came up and said that just that they enjoyed it. It was good. So I started feeling, you know, good. I felt good about it. Like, I felt good about it up there because I know there wasn't any really major faux pas, but, you know, you just hope that out there it sounds good. You know, from what it sounds like on stage to out into the audience, it's a difference. You know, it could be really different sometimes. So, but, you know, when people came up, like, especially again, like my best friend, Mike Pond, he's, you know, he's honest with me always, and he came up and he just had a good smile on his face, so I started to feel good, like, right there, like, wow, man, maybe we pulled this off, you know.
Nice.
Because, I mean, if we hadn't pulled it off, you know, it would be over. There would be nothing else to talk about, you know, but, you know, we got a record deal out of it, so it's kind of cool.
Now, how soon did that happen? How soon did this record deal come to be? Like,
happened pretty quick after, and they wanted the record pretty quick, so the record is all done, mastered, mixed, the artwork is all done for it, and we're just trying to you know, follow the news and see what's up with society and
sure.
What our next move should be. So we might release another single first before this one, before the record comes out, rather. So we might do another single. So we're trying to, you know, work on the logistics of flying everybody and see if it's safe and if it's, you know, if we can do it and stuff. So that's where we're at right now. But we're dying for everybody to hear it, you know.
Well, the first single, Crawl, I mean, dude, like, I love it. Like, and I hate to say this because I've talked in an interview to Tracy quite a few times over the years and became somewhat friends with him. And I love Tracy. I love Phil. I love LA Guns, like I said. And I won't even, like, try to remain loyal to him, but I was, once the single came out, I was like, oh shit, like this is going to get ugly, but I love it. I love this song. I really do.
Well, it doesn't have to get ugly, man. Just, you know, you get an interest in music and, you know, everybody knows, like, you know, like the first thing I did when I joined the band was to redo the logo to separate us and give us our own, you know, look for it. And I always post our names on everything that, so you know, like who's in this version and what's happening, you know, not trying to snake anybody, you know, it's totally blatant on the website. It's at the top of the website, who's in it, our picture. So, you know, you don't have to, it's not cheating as far as we're concerned, man. It's okay, you know, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Just like what you like, and we're just happy that, you know, some people like it. So, you know, we're good with that.
Have you heard from Phil or Steve after you guys got the record deal or after the show? Like, any...
Phil and Tracy, you mean? No, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, Tracy.
No. They've not been very nice, man. So we're not, you know, we're not gonna go into that. We're not going to let them drag us down, so we're just going to leave it as it is, but we don't communicate anymore, you know?
Wow. And how about...
It is a shame because we all got along really well back in the day, you know?
Right.
Back during the time, man, everybody got along really well. We had a really good time. It was a lot of fun.
Like, can you imagine, Alex, could you go back in time, like, you know, to the days of Cocked and Loaded and think to yourself, yeah, in 30, 35 years, whatever it is, there's going to be two of us. There's going to be two LA Guns. we're going to be split. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah, I would have, you know, I never would have thought of that for sure. But, you know, it is what it is. And it's an unfortunate situation. But, you know, at the end, we're all just putting out some music and we're not trying to hurt anybody, you know. So we're just trying to, you know, make people happy and, you know, get out of the house a little bit.
Yeah. Now how about the fifth original member, the quiet one, Mick Cripps? Have you heard from Mick at all?
Yeah, I talk to Mick all the time. I always talk to Mick. I was one of my best friends. He was definitely offered a position in the band. He's in two or three other bands. He plays all the time and he does his art and stuff. So he's busy and he wasn't up for it. So. But he was offered a shot if he wanted to come and play. Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you already said, you say you guys might release another single before the actual release of the album. When is the album scheduled to come out?
Yeah, we don't have a schedule yet because we're just watching the news, you know, like everybody else, trying to figure out timing and everything. If we could, you know, if we can go out and play soon, then, you know, we'll have it come out. You know, I'm ready. We're ready. It's all ready. You know, so it's hard to sit and wait too for us. So
sure.
We're ready to get it out and go play. So, but it's got to be safe. Got to be done safely.
Like, is that going to be the plan then? Like, once the whole, like, you know, shows start coming back eventually and the pandemic's over and all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world right now. But is that the plan, is to actually get on the road and start touring or?
Yeah, if it's cool and it's doable, we would love to do it, you know. But again, it's got to be safe. So if it's, you know, don't want people getting dying, you know, I'll die, man. I'm smoking cigarettes and I'm, you know, 15, so I don't want to get it, man, because I'll die for sure. You know, we got to make sure it's cool. The audience is getting a little older too, you know. That's everybody. You know, I'm sure, you know, everybody wants to go. So hopefully this is just a setback and we'll get back to some kind of normalcy soon and we can go enjoy life and appreciate these things much more, you know?
Right. So I got to ask a couple more questions, like from the old days, like going back to Sweet Pain. Do you talk to Corky Gunn anymore? Where's that dude?
Corky's in North Carolina. We talk a little bit. You know, he's doing his thing, so... I hear from him every now and then and, you know, see him. We have a lot of mutual friends and stuff, so see him sometimes.
Nice. And how did these guys end up doing Shoot for Thrills on the first LA Guns album? Like, I remember when it came out and I heard it, I'm like, wait a minute. What the hell is going on here? Why are they doing that tune? I didn't realize you were in Sweet Pain too. Like, it was like...
Right. So I wrote it, we used it in Sweet Pain, and then when I joined LA Guns, you know, we were looking for material, so I said, I have this one song I wrote, and they liked it, so we did it. Yep.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. going back to the face of the Pussycat thing, like after that the bad motorcycle wreck, were you like pissed at those guys for getting rid of you, or did you understand? Or
no, I totally understood. They came to visit me in the hospital, and it happened the night we got a record deal, so that was a big bummer. I finally get my record deal, and I end up going to the hospital for almost 3 months, 10 surgeries, 10 operations. Losing, having just signed with Elektra Records, and I get hit by a car. So, yeah, I was pretty bummed, but they were so cool. I talked to Tammy a few weeks ago. We still talk. Don't talk too much to the other guys, but, Tammy was right there. He had his hand on my leg. He was covered in blood. It was, like, dramatic, and we have a blood-brother relationship. You know, we'll always be, we always shared this moment in our lives together that was pretty heavy at the time. So, it was great. And then the bass player, Stacy, he came and visited me in the hospital by himself one day just to say hi and introduce himself. And, always appreciated that, and never had, a bad feeling towards him. But it was obvious I wasn't going anywhere. I was beat up. My whole left side was scraped, strawberried from sliding. My leg was like almost amputated. So it was a mess. Yeah, it took a lot of work to get back to walking again. It was 6 years of canes and crutches. It was like, I'm lucky to have it. They should have just cut it off. It would have been a lot easier.
But it didn't stop you from getting back on that bike.
No, man, still riding. Got a nice Harley. Got a nice soft tail right now. I went to Sturgis a couple of years ago with my friend Mike again. And, motorcycles were always the passion of my life. I love them. I watch MotoGP. I love motorcycles. I'm a grease monkey at heart, but, it never deterred me from riding again. I couldn't wait to get back on it. I was having the best time.
That's awesome. Now, what about your own business too? Like what is it? Montauk Salvage?
Yeah, Montauk Salvage is a design company I've had for a long time, and I just, I make stuff up when I have free time. I just design my own stuff, so I decided to run some merchandise and T-shirts and stuff, and, it just gives me an outlet for my own stuff, and always into photography and video, so I put some of that, I do some photography work, and I have a partner who's an illustrator who's just amazing, so I don't know if you saw the surfboards on the website, but we do all kinds of those. Those were going into the trash, and we took them and turned them into, unique, one-of-a-kind pieces, masterpieces. I mean, the guy's amazing. So, but we worked together on it because he doesn't know any computers, so I do the computer parts. He does, like, the hand illustration stuff. So we just, we get clients and stuff and try to keep that going.
Nice. That's awesome, dude. Good for you, man.
It's
cool to see.
Got to be creative in some way. When I left the band, that's why I got into computers. I was like, I have to stay creative somehow. Like, I'm not going to just start going into an office and, filing the taxes or whatever. I was like, I have to find another way to be creative, some other outlet. So photography and the computer, gave me that. So I've been doing it a while. I love it.
How about, like, over the years, too? Like, did your phone ever ring to, like, come and join, like, a Rat or somebody like that? A band that was looking for a different member, like a bass player or somebody? Or
nope.
Wow.
I never was really much of a, like, snoozer, like, with other bands and stuff. And, like, I didn't really keep phone numbers of other musicians or managers or agents or booking or anything, like that. So I kind of really just disappeared, man.
Damn, dude. Well, it's cool though. I mean, you hear some of them stories, like when VH1 was doing like all those stories, and you hear like guys are like, I ended up working at Starbucks and stuff like that. At least you didn't end up doing that. Like you did your own thing.
Yeah, I try to do my own thing, man, as much as I can. And I have done, I have banged nails, but I've done all kinds of things. But I still always do my own thing too, and you got to just stay busy, man. Life's a long road if you're lucky, and, you got to stay flexible. I mean, I dropped out of high school after 10th grade, So I just got to stay, I got kids to feed, so I got to do whatever I can,
Now, what do those kids think about dad, the musician? Because they didn't know the rock star dad when, before they were born. What do they think of this new life you're bringing back?
Yeah, I think my daughter got it a little bit when one of her teachers was talking about music and mentioned L.A. Guns, and she was like, my dad was, you know, was in that band, and so it, like, in front of her class, it was kind of cool that, you know, that happened. So they get it a little bit, but they never seen me live still. They weren't able to come to M3 or Vegas, so we're still hoping for that someday, you know.
Nice. It's going to happen. It will happen. Yeah, and then you guys got to get down here to Nashville.
Yeah, I love it. Last time I was in Nashville, I ended up in a garbage can, but that's a whole other interview.
Oh, man. So all right, so where should we send everybody to go to find out, you know, about the...
LAGuns.net is the website I run it, so I post everything up there first. So that's where you get the latest news, and then I'll post it on Facebook. But all the, you know, whatever's happening, whatever we're doing right now is... LAGuns.net, and there's, you know, merch and stuff, and there's, like, media, and, you know, there's a bunch of interviews that people can listen to and stuff, so, you know, try to update that, so.
Awesome. Well, dude, I am super excited that you're back. I am super excited to actually talk to you. I've been waiting 30 plus years to do this.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. It just play. And here's a little funny story, too, real quick. I'm originally from the Philadelphia area. You guys played at the Tower Theater on the Cocked and Loaded tour. And I was working during the day, and my buddy stayed outside and waited for you guys to come off the bus to get my Sweet Pain album signed by you. So I still have it.
Oh, man. Did I sign it?
You did. You absolutely did.
Oh, all right. All right. That's cool, man.
Yeah, man. It hung on my wall for like the last 20 years. And I just recently moved to Nashville 6 months ago. So, and I have it here with me still. So.
Oh, cool. All right. Good luck. Hey, listen, yeah. I got to go though, man. It's
right, man.
10 o'clock.
All right, dude.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much, dude. I appreciate what you're doing. Keeping rock going, and, you know, stay in touch, man.
I will come
to Nashville soon. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, bro. Take care.
Bye-bye.